up and down by the sea. In fact, in the far northeast of the Highlands of Scotland, not this northeast, but way up in the northeast of the Highlands, a place called Duncan's Behead, just about the furthest northerly part of the whole of Britain. This man killed seals for a living. It's quite a common thing to do. It was an old, old trade. And every day, he would leave the little cottage on top of a hill, top of a cliff where he lived, and go down to the beach, get in his boat, row out into the middle of the bay, and wait for the seals to come to him. And he had with him something to lure the seals in, because he had a little silver flute which he got from his father, which his father got from his father, and so on, back through the generations of the family. And passed down with a flute was a tune, a seal calling tune. And when the tune was played, the seals would hear it, and they would pop their heads up to listen. And it went like this. One day when the seal killer was playing that tune, a huge seal popped its head up right by the side of the boat. He put the flute down, he picked up his knife, and he stabbed the seal in the back. The seal was so huge, so powerful, sank down beneath the surface of the waves, taking the knife with him. The seal killer couldn't believe what had happened. That knife was his main stock in trade. Without it, he couldn't carry on. Couldn't carry on his work. So after a while, he rowed back to the shore. He climbed back up the cliff. He went and sat down in the kitchen with his head on his hands, thinking about how he was going to get another knife. Night came and a storm rose. Great wind, thunder. Like the seal killer was still at the table, drifting in and out of sleep. Sometime past midnight, there was a knock on the door. He woke with a start, went to the door and opened it, and there stood a tall man. Never seen him before, a stranger. The big black cloak wrapped around, a big, wide-brimmed black hat pulled down over his eyes. "Are you the man who kills seals for a living?" said the stranger. "Yes, I am," said the seal killer. "What do you want with me?" "I've a job for you," said the man. "Come with me." There was a flash of light, and the seal killer saw on the edge of the cliff a great white horse waiting for him. The stranger climbed on the horse. He pulled the seal killer up behind him, and they set off to the mouth. They went down the deepest, darkest valleys. They went through forests. They went over the steepest mountain passes. They went through rain and hail and sleet and snow. Until at last, they came to stop at another cliff edge. The stranger dismounted, and the seal killer got down to him. And then the stranger put his arm round the seal killer. He took a great breath. Filled his lungs with air, put his lips to the seal killer's lips, breathed the air into the seal killer's lungs, and then he threw himself off the cliff edge with the seal killer still in his arms. And they sank down like stooping hawks until they hit the surface of the sea, and they drifted to the ocean bed. And when they got there, there was a big door. They went through the door, and they were in a massive hall. Full of people, round-faced, brown-eyed. were all weeping. The stranger took the seal killer into another room, a smaller room. There, lying on a bed, was a beautiful woman. She was so pale, the seal killer couldn't tell whether she was alive or whether she was dead. The stranger said, "This is our queen, queen of the Selkie. Yesterday you stabbed her in the back, and now she's dying. Only one person can save her. That's you. What you must do is pull out the knife and get the wound." And the seal killer looked. He saw it was the hilt of his own knife sticking on his shoulder. He could do. He bent forward, pulled it out, and kissed the wound. And the wound closed over, disappeared as if by magic. The woman opened her eyes. She stared into the seal killer's eyes. He looked back at her, but before either of them could say anything, the stranger said, "Right, that's it. That's your job over. Come with me." And he took the seal killer by the arm. He took him back through the big hall full of the round-faced, brown-eyed, weeping people till they came to the sea door. "Now," he said to the seal killer, "before I let you go, promise me one thing." "What's that?" said the seal killer. "Promise me you will never, ever kill a seal." "No," said the seal killer. "Right," said the stranger, "take this." And he reached under his cloak and he pulled out a bundle. He pressed it into the seal killer's hands. "Take this, and whatever you do, don't open it till you get back home." Then he opened the sea door. He pushed the seal killer out into the water. The door slammed behind him, and the seal killer began to rise through the blackness. He rose and rose till he thought his lungs were going to burst. And at last, his head broke the surface of the sea. It was dawn. He was in the bay where he had his cottage on the cliff. He swam to the shore, dragged himself. He crawled up the pass, he opened the door of his cottage, he threw the bundle down on the table, and split open. The kitchen was full of pieces of gold. And the seal killer never did kill another seal. He spent the rest of his life living alone in that little cottage on the hill. The people who live around there say that when the moon was full, he would go down to the beach. He would take a silver flute. He would stand at the edge of the sea and play a tune. After a while, a huge sea would drag itself up to the shore. And the strange thing would happen, because the seal would take up its skin. A beautiful woman would step out. And all night long, she and the seal killer would dance together on the beach until the dawn. Then she would slip her sealskin back on and flop away to the waves. This is the tune that the seal killer used to call the Queen of the Selkies out of the sea. The story of the seal killer, and that's pretty much me, Mr. Morris. Thank you for that. But if you'd like, to send him a message. Thanks, everybody.